but now they're back trying to figure out life, and they're a hot mess. The Cadewamplas.
Hey, friends.
Hey there.
We're both snacking on cheese.
Yeah, we are.
Because we're in the same place.
Hey.
Tiffany is laying in my bed.
Hell's yeah. We tried to put all the microphones into one laptop, and Maggie's at her desk, and I was like, it didn't work. So I was like, well, back into bed for me.
So I'm sitting at my desk like a fucking workaholic. I was going to say slave, but given our topic.
Yeah.
We're the Cadewamplers.
Yep.
That's Tavinia.
Maggie. Yep. There we go. That's Maggie. There we go. And today, kids, we're going to get real with racism.
Kind of nervous.
So here we go.
Here we go.
I feel like the first couple minutes is going to be also us munching cheese.
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, I'm not sorry.
Not me. I'm really not at all. We'll try to edit out any like extra disgusting eating noises, though. Or maybe it's ASMR. You're gross.
There you go. Fucking enjoy stop. That. It's a treat for you, listeners.
Ew. We just lost like all of our subscribers.
Probably.
Except like Brenna and Dalton.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Okay, so first thing that I actually want to start with is, and it's something that I get confused all the time as well, is the difference between racism, prejudice, and bigotry. I think those are sometimes words that just get mostly racist and prejudice are usually ones that get intertwined, and I have to correct myself on sometimes as well. So I'm going to read those three definitions really quickly from this website called DebbieIrving.com. I don't know. She says some great things. So, prejudice is when a person negatively prejudges another person or group without getting to know the beliefs, thoughts, and feelings behind their words and actions. A person of any racial group can be prejudiced towards a person of any other racial group. There is no power dynamic involved. Bigotry is stronger than prejudice. It's a more severe mindset and often accompanied by discriminatory behavior. It's arrogant and mean-spirited, but requires neither systems nor power to engage in. And then racism is a system that allows the racial group that's already in power to remain in power. She goes on to say, since arriving on U.S. soil, white people have used their power to create preferential access to survival rights and resources, and then example, housing, education, jobs, voting, citizenship, food, health, legal protection, etc. For white people, while simultaneously impeding people of color's access to these same rights and resources. Though reverse racism is a term I sometimes hear, it has never existed in America. White people are the only racial group to ever have established and retained power in the United States. So, just that, some of that throwing out there. Obviously, I feel like I have to say, it's like, because then that kind of comes into like, well, this black person is super like, people say racist to white people. Okay, well, it's just because we're saying it's a different word you need to use doesn't mean it's right necessarily. Like, you shouldn't be prejudiced to anybody, but it's just different terminology that should be applied. And I feel like everyone wants to just use the word racist because it's the most powerful and like attention getting. But I mean, being prejudiced is terrible as well. It just doesn't play into like the power dynamic like it was talking about. So, you're really sucking down that water, aren't you? Mm-hmm. I was hoping you were talking to, like, eat my cheese.
Sorry. Yeah. This is a... It's an interesting one for me because I grew up in Central Missouri, very backwoods mentality, and I see a lot of people from back home talking about reverse racism and blah, blah, blah. And it's one of those things where it's almost like there's no point in me commenting and like trying to explain why reverse racism can't exist because they don't understand. Like in their minds, anytime that anybody is doing anything to someone based on that person's skin color, whether or not that's a white person to a black person or a black person to a white person or however, people think it's racism. And like you said, it's not the case. And it is semantics. So like, you know, I kind of see their argument. They're like, oh, well, it's all the same. But no, it's fucking not the same thing. Yeah.
So, and also, I guess I feel like we should, too, because there's going to be a couple episodes where we talk about, not consecutively, but where we talk about different, like, race and color and stuff like that. So, and for those who don't know, I'm a black female and Maggie's white. And I know sometimes there's this, not fear, but I mean, sometimes people gotta stop talking. And so there's kind of this notion of like, I might not want to hear Maggie's opinion because she does not identify in this at all. Well, not that I'm the spokesperson for all black people, but this is also her podcast. So she can say, well, anything she wants. But I feel like it's all like, I feel comfortable in this space and it's our podcast. So
little do you know, I'm super racist. I've just been waiting for this moment this is what to broadcast it. My time to shine.
My agenda. Yeah, no. So this is her space to speak as well. And if you don't want to hear it, that's fine. But it's pretty good opinion. So I should stop trying to eat this cheese right now. I'll never talk again. Yeah, so like as Maggie was saying, she grew up in Missouri. And actually where she grew up is where I live now. Well, not the exact town, but same state, kind of same-ish area. And yeah, it's pretty interesting out there sometimes. Just different things that people say and do and wear, and just like, just zero fucks given, and just, but that's kind of the problem, right? And so like, I'm not trying to go down this story of like, oh, my top 10 racist moments, but it's, number one, it is an issue. It's always been an issue. I can't stand when people say it's just now becoming an issue.
Oh, no, my God.
It's just televised.
We're
more
just now talking
and
about
we're putting
it
on social media more. And I mean, something that I will say is to some of my friends who did vote for Trump. The one thing they have right is that it's not like racism was gone when President Obama was in office. That's very true. It wasn't like, oh, we're signing a peace treaty, no more racism. It was still happening. It's just, I think since this president has been in office, it's just, they're all coming out. And they just don't even care. And like, it's just out in faces, seeing everything, and they're always there. It's just kind of like, oh yeah, my moment to shine. If anybody's seen this is probably a weird turn, the Oz, it's like the black version of Wizard of Oz. At the end, the people in the little town that were apparently, like, they're actually slaves, they come out dancing when they're, like, the master's killed. And it's just like, ease on down, ease on down. And they're, like, dancing and singing. I feel like that's what happened when Trump got in office, that all the racists and all the, they just kind of came out like, ease on down, down the road. Mm-hmm. Yeah, pretty much.
Like, hells yeah. Now I get to be racist all the time and there's no consequences. Yeah. White power.
Yeah, yeah.
What's the episode of Bob's Burgers? I can't get this out of my head. I'm thinking about it this whole time. Where Gene is like, it's a race war. I can't remember like what's happening, but he just keeps saying it and Bob's like, no. And Gene's like, race war.
Was it the one where they were doing the like carts? Not go-karts, but like the, and Gene like did the flags and stuff, maybe, or whatever. And that's why he called it a race war. Oh my God. That show's hilarious. You should watch Bob's Burgers, honestly.
You really should.
We're getting way sidetracked. Okay. Yeah. So I feel like there's so many things to unpack with this word though, because when I first think, like right now, if I had to snapshot it in today's world, I'm gonna think of the police. I'm gonna think of all these shootings. I'm gonna think of lots of things like that. And then of course I'm gonna think of Trump.
I should try to bleep it out like they do on Broad City.
Yes. You shall not be named. I feel like Voldemort's cooler.
So my, like, kind of jumping in on the Missouri thing, not trying to like make excuses for anybody, but I feel like what I've learned, and I read an article back when like Trump was running for office that made this statement, and I thought it was so true, that a lot of time, I don't know how to like say this eloquently, the people who are like, oh, I'm not racist, and like have to make a big like song and dance out of like proving that they're not racist, I feel like a lot of times what happens is that they're not racist as long as black people stay in their box. So like, how do I explain this? I mean, yes, they are racist, but they think they're not. Meaning, as long as people of color fit into this little box that they've created, it's fine. So, like, for example, I know that my uncle is never going to listen to this podcast. My uncle...
I wish he would.
He's not going... He wouldn't even know how to get to it. My uncle owns his own business in Central Missouri. Small business. I'm not going to say what it is just because it would be easy to track down if I did. So he owns his own small business, and it's like a very like blue collar kind of business. And so he usually needs to have at least 1 to 2 employees, but it's outside work, like backbreaking in the sun all day, whatever. So at one point he hired this black guy. And he was such a hard worker, and my uncle just loved him, thought he was the greatest guy in the entire world. And then it had been like a very long time, probably like over a year that this guy had worked for him. And I can't remember if it was, I was really young when this happened. I can't remember if it was him or if it was his wife or like a family member or somebody fell ill. There were like some health problems in the family, and he like unexpectedly had to call in to work one day, and my uncle fired him on the spot. Because how dare you, you lazy black man. Like, and then like, I remember for like weeks afterwards sitting there as a kid and like listening to my uncle bitch about this guy who like for the last year had been the greatest employee ever. But then in my uncle's, and that whole time he'd been fitting into like, oh, he's not like the other black people because he's a hard worker and blah, 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 blah. And then when he has to call in work because there's a health issue in the family, then you're playing into the stereotype of the lazy, you know, deadbeat black man and just like totally counts him out. So that's a pretty extreme case of what I'm trying to say. But I feel like sometimes, especially in Central Missouri, people genuinely think that they're not racist because they're not like yelling N words out their car window as they drive past a black person on the street. But as soon as that black person needs assistance from the food bank or gets too loud and like gets in a fight, then oh, you're like the ratchet black person, or oh, you're, you know what I mean, like you're the suck on society. And then that's when they turn into like super fucking racists, and that also is racist.
Which reminds me of another word to maybe discuss is microaggressions.
Yes.
And so I just looked up, because I could give you my own definition, but let's read the internet's. Microaggressions are the everyday verbal, nonverbal, and environmental slights, snubs, or insults, whether intentional or unintentional, which communicate hostile, derogatory, or negative messages to target persons based solely upon their marginalized group membership. That's from Psychology Today. So that's something that very much so annoys me, and I have to like let go. Well, I'm gonna come back to that because I was gonna get, I forgot, and then of course I forgot my point now. Whatever, let's keep going with this one. Oh, no, I remember it. Something that I want to say is that, so yes, there's a lot of times that people throw around, and obviously there's more than just black and white. There's also Hispanic. There's obviously many more other. And we're not trying to erase or whatever that group as well. But when people usually come up and say, like, do you think I'm racist because this person called me a racist? My firm belief is it doesn't matter to me necessarily. It's how you made that person feel. And I can't negate their emotions from whatever you did in that moment, because we don't know anyone's background. We don't know what has happened or what was said or the way they took it of what you said or how much they know you. If they felt that you are, then to them, you are. Like, I can't say, no, you're not. I'm not going to negate someone else's opinion at all. That's kind of just like fucking, what am I trying to say here? Victim blaming. There we go. Or like erasure of someone's experience. And that's not what we're, I don't think that's what we're here to do. So, I mean, that's for you to sit with and kind of decide and go over, but it's just how you made that person feel in that moment, or how you've constantly made that person feel for them to want to have said that. So I feel like that's something that needs to be discussed, because there's so many. Just recently, I was asked, this person told me I was racist. Like, do you think I am, blah, blah, blah? Number one, if I give you an answer, it's not the answer for all black people.
Yeah. Exactly.
Sorry about it. Or all people of color. Two, it's how you made that person feel in that time being.
It's just like you can't go up to somebody. Like, so if I say something horrible to Tavinia that make not regarding her race, but just, I don't know, any comment that makes her feel crappy about herself and she's upset about it, and I don't understand why she's upset, I can't go to one of our mutual friends and be like, hey, Taylor, am I an asshole for making Tavinia cry? Well, that's not Taylor's decision. Like, that's Tavinia's decision. Did I make her feel bad? Does she think I'm an asshole in that situation? Yeah. Okay. Well, then that's Tavinia's decision. Like, nobody else gets to decide your feelings on the situation, on any situation.
Taylor would probably say, like, nah, Tavinia, she's suck it up.
Okay. Well,
you have such tough love. But no, so I want to go off the whole of Black people staying in their lane. That's something that definitely drives me fucking insane. So just because I enunciate each single word, and just because I kind of talk like this, and because I've gone to school and stuff like that, it is a very interesting place of, in both my culture and in white culture, of, wow, you're, I forgot, the amount of times people have told me you're one of the good ones makes me want to scream. And I feel like also, I mean, I have to justify, like, well, what did you do in that moment? Because that's time that you can choose to educate someone, you can cuss out someone, or you could just completely ignore it. And each situation has been different. There have been times that I've educated, there's been times that I just ignore it. Typically, it happens in the workplace, so I'm like, awesome. Not my current workplace, thank God. But previous workplaces. And I always go back and forth on that whole of, it's not my job to educate a person, because that's very, very true. That's so true. Like, it's not your job to educate someone on your sexuality, on your, on anything about you. They can go look it up themselves. But sometimes, at the same time, I feel like it is up to us to educate them, because where are they going to find their information from? And that makes me nervous. So it's dependent on the person, and if I'm just wasting my breath even explaining anything to them because it's just not going in and they don't really care. They just feel bad in that moment that they may have offended me. That is what drives me crazy, but I was going a long rant with that one. It was going somewhere else. It's gone now. Oh, well. But yeah, just being told that the way you speak or present yourself makes you, it just sets you apart from others is very, very infuriating.
You don't talk like you're Black.
Yeah. Oh my God. Oh
my God. That one drives me crazy. Like, what the fuck? So kind of going back to the microaggressions thing, some examples of that, if you don't know what that might be, would be the difference that you might, or that some people might have. Like, for example, if you're talking to maybe like a, two women who are in their 30s, one's white, one's Black. You ask the white woman if she has any kids. You ask the Black woman how many kids she has. Or you're speaking to a white woman and a Black woman. You ask the white woman where she went to college. You ask the Black woman if she went to college. And like, it's not in your face racism. It's just like by asking if she went to college versus asking the white person where they went to college, it implies that, oh, you're white. So obviously, you know, you're well to do and you went to college. But the Black person, oh, did you go to college? Because, you know, like, I don't know if I'm explaining that very well, but.
Well, and so BuzzFeed has an article called 21 Racial Microaggressions You Hear on a Daily Basis. And just a few to, like, highlight is one dude put, you know, you don't act like a normal Black person, you know. And a girl put, just because I'm Mexican, that doesn't mean that I should be the automatic first choice for the role of Dora the Explorer in the high school skit. Someone said, like, you know, so, like, what are you? Or where are you from? That, too, sometimes is not so great. Or
Texas?
Yeah. This is an African-American female who said, when people think it's weird that I listen to Carrie Underwood. I fucking love me some Carrie Underwood.
Do you remember? I'm not going to name names because I don't know if he listens to the podcast. Somebody came to visit us in Ireland, and you and I were listening to, like, trap music and like R&B and like 90s, and then we put on, oh God, I don't even remember what song it was. It's that song that's like, everybody I know is growing old too. It's kind of like a poppy, like emo kid sort of song, and I didn't know it, and Tavinia started singing along, and he was like, you know this song? And like, oh, you could tell it was very much like like that he thought that we were only listening to like trap music and R&B because Tavinia is Black. And then we put on like, I don't know, like indie music for the white people. But then Tavinia, like I didn't know and Tavinia didn't. That made me laugh.
I'm trying to find this one because I actually have it on my shower time playlist.
Yeah, it's It's by like Suit and Jacket or something.
Yes.
Right? Isn't yes. that the band name?
Oh, that's the name of the song.
Or is that the name of the song?
Maybe. Anyways. Yeah. Yeah, that's always very interesting. Now let's go to police. We're going to go ahead and just jump right into it. So I have, well, okay. Let's step back out for a second. Me personally, I have a pretty negative thoughts towards the world in general. Like, I don't think that we can all ever fully change. I don't think something can happen that, and I think that even if you, I mean, I think we have a better chance if maybe we just swiped us all off the earth instead of started over again. But I also feel that, like, history always repeats itself. And so I think we're just too doomed to do any good anymore, to, like, make a cool, but whatever, that's my opinion. So I think we talked about that in that one episode where we asked questions of if you could do one or change one thing over
again. Yeah, like you were like, I just want to kill everyone.
Yeah, let's just all be gone. And so it's taken me some, like, when it comes to officers, it's taken some serious, like, time to process and think, because I automatically hate them all. And I have such a tear because I fear so much from, like, when I'm driving and I'm, like, leaving Quick Trip and I see a black guy get pulled over, my instant thought is, please don't get shot. Like, please don't say anything. Don't, like, just keep your mouth shut. Or even if you keep your mouth shut, you might get shot. So, it's a very, and I will have to say, though, so I listen to the podcast, My Favorite Murder is my favorite thing in the entire world. And they read about true crime stories, but they also have, like, time when they just talk or whatever. And I love it so much. And one of the hosts, she is, comes from a family of police officers. And so, but she's also, like, very into, you know, like, current events, blah, blah, blah. I would say definitely, like, liberal type mind frame or whatever. And so it has been very helpful to listen to her talk about it, because it's kind of that, and I know this, so much, but I just have so much doubt in the entire world of, no, all of them are wrong. And she's saying it's that one officer, and it's the people who continue to cover them up. Those are the problem, not the entire group of people. And because if I think about it as it's that entire group of people, I'm doing the same thing of people who think all black people are terrible because they've had a bad experience with one of them. You have to take it case by case. And although I know there is a much bigger systemic issue with whiteness and with all this, having this unlimited amount of power as cops, I know there's a bigger issue, but I can't hate all of them because, yes, they make up the entire system, but they're not the system. We have to fight the bigger system, not each individual. It has to be each individual person versus this, the collective group. Which sounds like I keep bobbing and weaving inside of the same opinion. But, yes, if that makes any sense. So it's a not, I can't hate all police officers, but there's great police officers. I don't wish death on police officers because that's still a human life. But it just gets very hard sometimes. But I have to remember it's not all of them. Oh, excuse me. Now, do I get annoyed with this whole back the blue thing? Yes. Ugh. Because I feel like by having to make something up like that, it's just trying to completely erase the other idea that's going on. Like this whole all lives matter.
Oh my gosh. I was going to say, God. It's like people yelling all lives matter at a yes. Black Lives Matter
they
event.
They do. You're correct. All lives matter. But you don't have to make a freaking sign for that, because the ones we seem to be forgetting about are the black lives. That's why we have these signs, why we have these statements. No one is saying keep black power now. Like yeah. We're going to rise up and take over the entire. No, like, it's everyone still matters. That's not what we're trying to say, that no one else matters. It's just a,
we hey, just need some extra emphasis on the black.
Please don't forget
ones.
About us. Yeah, we're kind of dwindling quickly. So, yeah. So, yeah. So it's, I think that's kind of my stand on it now, is it's not all police force. There are definitely great cops out there. There are, and I'm going to even go as far to say, as I know there's a lot more pressure put on some cops now because, oh God, overthinking every step of, will this end up on the news and will it get, because the news can change. Oh, bless you. The news can change the perspective or whatever of anything, any story of what really happened. I get that. And so it's also like, okay, am I doing the correct step now? I don't want to, you know, like, I get that.
I feel like it probably goes back, and I have no idea because I'm not a police officer. I feel like it probably goes back to the way that they're trained. And so there needs to be some, I guess, kind of spouting bullshit right now. There probably needs to be some type of change in the way that we train police officers and all that kind of stuff, because yes, a large part of it just comes down to racism, that they're just blindly shooting black people. But I don't know, like, why is that? I don't know. It just seems like, why is that even like an option in your repertoire of things to do to defuse a situation? Killing somebody is on the list. Like, I get that it needs to be like in certain situations, like if they're charging at you with a weapon or, you know, whatever, but I don't know. Like, there needs to be a complete overhaul of the system, because I think until there is, it's just going to continue, because it's giving the few bad police officers a platform and a protection. It's giving them protection from that kind of thing.
Yeah. Well, and it's like, but then you see those stories of like individuals who are like either charging at a cop and are Caucasian, and that's true. They try to calm them down and talk to them first and give them all these other options and stuff like that. And once again, those moments, I have to say, no, it's that individual cop. Don't think about all of the cops that are like that. But it's just, yes, definitely the way they're trained. And I mean, if you really, it's one of those moments too, and I'm sorry. Once again, I'm working on it. Leave me alone. Of trying to separate that not all police people are terrible and it's individuals, blah, blah, blah. So fuck off. I'm working on it. But it's that idea again of, you know how sometimes you can identify with the villain in a movie because you see where they're coming from?
Yeah.
When you give someone that much power,
yeah,
and they get to pick and choose, what do you think is going to happen?
Yeah, exactly.
There's going to be some terrible things, that decisions that are made, and they will feel like we're justified because they truly believe that was a good call. But we're giving them way too much freaking power. But at the same time, I think about it, I'm like, well, then who would stop all the crime or whatever? This is why I'm not president. Because he said superheroes. Yeah. Like in The Incredibles. What?
Yeah.
Do. Yeah. Bring them back out. We need them more than ever. Yeah. So I feel like that's kind of where it's, at least that's where I stand. And
wasn't it me and you, I'm pretty sure, in Fort Collins, and we saw a man get pulled over. We were like at a stoplight or something. We saw him get pulled over. Or no, it was that, I don't know, whatever. Anyways.
He cut off the ambulance.
Yes, he cut off an ambulance. And then we were still sitting at the light and could see him like get pulled over. Or no, he cut off a police officer. Because then the police officer immediately, instead of going to wherever he was going with his sirens on.
It was the ambulance. Because the ambulance pulled over and was like, listen here, you fuck. That's why I was like, they should have took him with them. Hopefully someone bleeding out, and make them look at them like, I could have been here sooner if you didn't
cut me. Okay, maybe. Okay, yeah. So he cut off an ambulance. And then the ambulance, or there was also a police officer following the ambulance, maybe. I know there was a police officer involved somehow. But they like went back after the car. And the guy like got out of his car and like had his hands up in the air. And me and Tavinia both like at the same time were like, if that was a black guy, he would be shot by now. Like, it's just, it's ridiculous when you like realize that you've come across a situation that would be on the news if the person was a different color. And actually, I had a situation. I drive a 2000 truck with like almost black tinted windows. It was my brother's truck before it was mine. So like almost black tinted windows. And I got pulled over in Winfield because I had a headlight out. And I think that they thought that it was a black guy driving the truck, which would kind of make sense. Not make sense, but it does look like a rather stereotypical like vehicle. So they come up on either side. There were two officers that came up on either side of my truck and were like shining flashlights like down on my floorboards and like in my eyes. And the officer on the passenger side, when like he shined his flashlight on me and realized that it was just like a white girl, just went back to the car. Like, didn't say anything at all and just went back to the car. And the other officer was like, oh, when I rolled my window down, he said, oh, and I was like, here's my license. And he was like, no, you just have a headlight out. That's all we wanted. And I was like, so why'd you both come up to my door if that was all you wanted? That seems a little excessive. And it was just sort of like, I remember I was in college and it was just sort of like a shit kind of situation.
And that time all those cops showed up on us.
Oh, my God. That fucking
God, lady
called the cops on us.
She is the original meme of that woman calling the cops at the cookout.
Barbecue Becky.
Yeah, Barbecue Becky. Which I feel so bad because I know someone close to me's name is Becky and she's amazing. So every time I see memes and stuff about Becky's, I'm like, oh, Becky. Which I think is even funny because when Beyonce came up with that, like, you better call Becky with the good hair.
Yeah.
Becky from Family, not Family Guy, from Full House, Compton was like, not this Becky. But now that Becky is in jail or like about to go to jail for trying to bribe her kids to get into college, which I'm like, oh, Becky, all the Becky's messing up in some way or another. So, yes, that's the opinion. That's an, you know what? I expect a spirited debate on this stuff, or maybe not. Maybe.
Yeah, you guys are like so uninvolved. Like, I'm going to call out in all of our listeners right now because none of you ever comment on anything. And I get that, like, maybe we need to put in a little more work or something. But we ask questions in the podcast for you to answer. And, like, we're not just fucking around trying to get comments. Like, we genuinely want this to spark, maybe not a debate because I kind of crumble in debates, but we genuinely want this to We genuinely want this to spark a conversation in the comments. So fucking leave some comments. God, get heated about something. Argue with us, but gently.
If anything, I feel like this would be the one.
Yeah. That's fine.
Yeah. Yeah. Which, once again, this is my opinion. You can say all the things you want to me on it and I will listen. But it's my opinion, just like that's your opinion. Just like whether or not we should give teachers guns.
Oh, my God. That's
your opinion. I was dancing around. I have my opinion. And I will, of course, be more than open to listening because that's how conversation should work, is that you're actually listening to a person and not just shutting down their ideas in your mind, although sometimes it's very easy to do when they're really dumb.
Can we briefly talk about this situation? I know it's not a racist situation, so it maybe doesn't belong in this podcast. But real quick, this week... I work for the Department of Education in Colorado, and there was a woman who got on a plane from Florida. She's 18 years old. I'm not going to call her a woman. She's a kid. This 18-year-old kid gets on a plane from Florida, comes to Colorado, gets off the plane, and was immediately able, same day, to go into a, I'm going to say pawn shop because I don't know where she went, but pawn shop or like gun store. Does that exist? I don't know. Like, was able to go buy a shotgun and like is a known threat to society basically, but was able to go legally buy a shotgun. And all of the Denver schools were closed for a day because they didn't know where she was. And she's like considered armed and dangerous. So they shut down the schools because she's obsessed with the Columbine shooting. And they thought that she was going to go shoot up a school. And so I posted on my Facebook that like, this is not fucking normal that we structure our society around these people. That like, we cancel school for a day because somebody's going to come shoot the place up with a gun that they bought legally on the same day that they landed in a new state. Like, it just was so backwards to me. So I posted on Facebook about it, and my uncle, the one that I was talking about earlier, commented on it. And just like his first comment was that we should arm teachers, that like that's the solution, is arming teachers. And so I tried to go into it with a fairly open mind, even though I think that's the dumbest fucking thing I've ever heard in my entire life. Tried to like hear it out. And then I gave back all these like fact-based points and like, you know, studies done by the FBI and government websites and blah, blah, blah. And he just resorted to like, oh, a little snowflake and blah, blah, blah. And then like at one point he even went so far as to post a picture of one of the planes hitting the Twin Towers on 9/11. And I deleted that shit right away because I was like, you took this too fucking far. Like, this is no longer an open-minded conversation. This is just you like shitting all over people. So once again, this does not belong in this podcast, but it's still fresh in my brain. I still get fired up when I think about it. So,
well, like Maggie was saying things to him, and then also a friend of ours that we went to college with was like responding too. And so here comes Bumblefuck Tavinia, and I'm just like, dude, and I see all these comments, and I'm just laughing hysterically. And so I just commented and was like, I have thoroughly enjoyed reading all of this. And then I said his name, like, oh boy. But, and then he commented back with more crap, and I was like, oh dear. But I just find it, I was telling Maggie this yesterday, I just find it so interesting when, even though him and I both agree so much on the fact that there is a problem with shootings in schools, but the solution to that problem is just so vastly different. I just find that so interesting about humanity, number one, is that we can both agree on this one point And usually, I know from many conferences I've gone to, especially, I like to go to one every February. I haven't been in a while, though. It's called Reproductive Justice in Red States. And there's a lot of, usually there's a lot of sessions that's surrounded about how can you have these tough conversations with, like, super conservative organizations of, like, reproductive justice. And they always say to find your common ground and then go from there. I found him and I's common ground, but I don't know where we go from there because the solution is so different. Like, it's just so, oy.
And I feel like that kind of, it does sort of loop back around to racism, because I don't think any of these, like, backwoods, close-minded white people are under any false impressions that racism doesn't exist. They know it's there. They know it's there. But their solution to the problem is, black people, stop whining. No. No. Yeah, so yeah, it is easy. It's pretty fucking easy to find common ground with people. But then usually you just jet off in different directions.
Mm-hmm. So from here, I now want to jump over to white privilege. And what that means and what that looks like. Because here's usually, I think I've said this before, I got my master's in multicultural women and, oh my God, multicultural women and gender studies, there we go, which I think I said once before, is pretty much just if political correctness and feminism had a child, that's what that degree is. And, which I've loved every second of, don't get me wrong, but it definitely was a time that opened my eyes to so freaking much. And I have so many great books now, like, just whatever. Anyways, fangirl. So white privilege and this whole idea. And I have this perfect picture, actually, because I'm about to have a race conversation with one of my white friends. And I'm just building up my repertoire of, like, how to have this conversation gracefully, of where no one's offended, but I'm also making my point. And you can make, ooh, pause, it's love, make a wish.
It's 10:11. You're on Missouri time.
Oh, no. erase. I'll use it again in an hour. I'm sorry. That's true. My little. Okay, whatever. Yeah, so I'm, like, building up so we can have, like, a very good conversation. And one of my friends from my master study, Frankie, I think she'd be cool with me saying her name, shared this thing on Facebook, and it says, white privilege doesn't mean your life hasn't been hard. It means your skin color isn't one of the things making it harder. And I think that is the perfect explanation, because I know that people have been through the fucking ringer. I understand that. I know that you've probably come from, not all of you, but, like, some have come from a terrible background. Some are struggling now. Like, we're human. Life fucking sucks sometimes. I get it that you're probably coming from, or could be coming from, a terrible, terrible background. And I get that. And that's not saying that. I think that word privilege is what sometimes gets, yep, is what upsets people sometimes. Absolutely. Because it makes it seem like I'm just super entitled to all these things. And no one, and I think that picture summed it up perfectly, of that no one is saying that your life wasn't hard. God, I believe you. Like, it's terrible. Please don't explain it all to me, because I don't want to hear it all. And, like, I can agree. It's just the fact that there was one little factor in your life that didn't have to make it harder.
It's not a little factor.
Well, yeah. pretty big one. It covers your entire body. Yeah.
Covers your entire body.
It's just that thing that didn't have to add to it is what we're saying. And so, and it's nothing you can control, so don't get mad. Like, it's just, it's a being. It's a systemic issue that you cannot control. All you can do is choose to, I guess, ignore and just be mad that, no, I'm not perfect. That's the other thing. Taking it as offensive, like, why can't I just be, like, everyone's always shitting on all my opinions and everything about me. And, like, oh, God, I can't change the fact that I'm white. You're correct, and I can't change the fact that I'm black. And here we are. We're still living in the bigger systemic issue. And so, boy, that one's always interesting to explain, because, so, like, in our job, which still cracks me up, there is a situation, a story given of, we go out and do these plans for people. And so it's, like, a, at minimum, 25-page plan of, like, what's your likes, your dislikes, future goals, just important things to know about the person. And one of the questions is cultural considerations. And so you have to ask, like, if you like subscribe to a certain religion, or if there's special holidays you celebrate, or there's like any cultural traditions that you're like super into that's important for staff to know about you. And so I think up until I got hired, it was an all white team. So going into some homes and asking, so do you have any special cultural, which it just makes me laugh, but I do understand that it's probably uncomfortable because it's like, please don't punch me. Please don't punch me in the face. But like, we have to ask those questions. And so that's actually kind of where it came up with the person who asked me. She was doing it with a black family and asked them if there was any cultural considerations. That's literally the question in the thing. And the woman got so mad with her and called her a racist. And it was, that was one of the situations where she was like, do you think I am? And I was like, well, once again, I don't get to decide what that woman thinks you are and is not. I do understand the situation you're coming from, and that's a required thing, but
yeah.
I don't get to say, nope, she's completely wrong because she felt that way, given she doesn't know the whole background of it. So I could see if you just approached me and said, oh, that's weird. Where's all your hair? Shouldn't you have braids? Like, tell us about how often you get braids. Something like that. Like, yeah, I'm going to be pretty pissed.
Fried chicken in the fridge?
Yeah, fried chicken. I hate fried chicken, so stop you there. but yeah, that was just... How did I get to that story?
Well, I was... Are you done with that story?
Yeah.
I was going to loop back around to white privilege. I feel like my job in this episode is to give examples of what things are. So white privilege, if you're feeling defensive or feeling confused about what that might look like in your life, is going to a job interview and not having to worry about if they think your hairstyle is too black. White privilege is going to shop for Band-Aids and they all match your skin tone. Or... getting pulled over and not getting worried that you're going to literally die because you were had a headlight out coming home from Brahms in Winfield, which is what I was doing. And my cone started dripping and I had to lick it.
Which, okay.
Yeah.
This is drifting off into another issue. yeah. And I made it a personal. So to me, my friends are pretty much my family. They mean so much to me. A lot of, especially my college friends, helped me get through a lot of hard times. And so when the ease on down part came out and Trump was elected and all the people were coming out of the woodworks and all this shit was happening with the whole Nazi and just like, just bananas stuff. Like I said, it's not an issue that hasn't not happened before. It's just more out in the open. And so I mostly fear for my brothers and my father. But I also fear for myself, especially when I fucking up and decide to cut all my hair off. I'm just not helping my situation at all. I'm just more and more starting to look, whatever. And so I told myself I have to have this conversation with, and conversations we hadn't really had before because didn't feel a need to, with a lot of my very, very close white friends. And of like, I need you to understand that when we do certain things, it puts me in an uncomfortable situation. Or don't be offended if I choose to not come do this with you because I don't want to end up in a situation where it turns poorly for me. And no one else, like,
yeah.
And just like, please know these things, and please also know that I'm just, please be cognizant. I think it's the word.
Aware.
Okay. Aware.
I don't know what the cognizant definition is.
I realize this podcast is mostly just me using words and hoping that they actually fit.
Like, we
and
just like, throw them out there, learning. And we're like,
yeah. Latvinia's learning words. So like, just please be aware of the fact of, you don't have to do anything about it really, except maybe just be more mindful. Of, I'm living in a world where I am terrified. And that's a thing. And it's a real thing. And I know that we don't have to go into in depth about political stances and stuff like that. We don't have to. But just please know that your friend, who is also black, because you cannot be colorblind and say you don't see that. I am black and that I am scared of certain things that are happening in the world. Please be aware of that. And just please be aware of my feelings towards it. And some of those conversations were very awkward because we never had to talk like that before. Some of those conversations were even awkward with friends of mine that are people of color but have no fear in the world right now, which is very interesting to me. But it's a real thing. And so even if we want to put everything aside of feelings and like, of like political feelings, just knowing that you have a friend who is scared, like, I think is important conversations to have. And so,
like when you, this is maybe not the greatest example, but I'm gonna roll with it. You know, like when you go to a haunted house with all your friends and there's one person who's really scared, like genuinely scared, like crying scared, and you put them in the middle of the group and kind of surround them and protect them? Why are we not doing that with Black people?
There we go.
In general, like as a society.
Or definitely Hispanic people.
Yeah. Any people of color who are scared.
Yeah. 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 So it's, yes, please make a human flesh shield around us because.
Ew. Yeah. I'm just picturing a bunch of like skin stitched together.
Yeah. No. One of the guys I work with, he was talking about like how we sometimes have staff that's there for behavior issues and that shouldn't be the case. He was like, we don't need flesh walls there. And I was like, that is the worst thing you've ever said. Please never say it again. And he was like, but it got across to you, didn't it? And I'm like, oh God, flesh walls. Yeah.
Really quick. I want to go back to, you briefly mentioned like something about the Nazis. Yeah. Let's talk about that. Like there was a picture about like, there was like a Nazi march basically somewhere in the South, of course. And where else would it be? And there was like a picture of like this white kid on the front, like college age kid. And he's, I think he's holding like a poster or let's call it a pitchfork just for emotional punch. So he's holding something in his hand and he's like yelling and it like came out like what his name was and people just fucking blasted him. And then he came out on social media like a few weeks later and was like, my whole life has been ruined by this, you know, like being on that picture ruined my life and blah 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 and when like all kinds of like really backwoods white people that I know were like sharing it and being like, this kid didn't deserve to have his life ruined. Fucker, yes he did. Oh, like, my oh my God, what do you mean? Like I cannot wrap my mind around how people are defending a literal Nazi. No, get the fuck out. He deserves to get kicked out of school or whatever happened to him. Jesus Christ.
Well, I mean, we couldn't ruin Brock Turner's life. He had a really good swim future.
God, and, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I just jumped from race to
race to rape.
Yeah, to rape it.
And okay, so we're like running out of time and I'm trying to like make a few more points. I would just like to throw out there, just this is just a point that we haven't even touched on. Jesus was brown.
Oh.
I would just like to
damn.
Just like to throw that out there.
And
Jesus
mic drop.
Was brown. Okay.
Mic drop. Step away. Let
except
them
I can't
throw
drop
the
it.
At you.
I can't drop it. It's attached to the boom arm. But and okay, and really quick, we have to do our question soon, but colorblind. Colorblind is not a thing. And it's disrespectful to people of color when you say that you're colorblind, because what you're doing by saying that, I understand that most people that say it have good intentions. You're trying to say like, oh, I don't see color. I treat everybody the same. But you've got to understand that people of color have had different life experiences. And by saying that you're colorblind, you're also erasing the experiences that they've had because of their skin color. So good intentions, but no.
Because of that actual name, you are choosing to be blind.
Yeah.
To everything.
Yeah.
So
because there are, as Tiffany was saying, there are experiences that Black people and people of color have that white people don't have. Like, if you ever are traveling with, like, maybe you have a Muslim friend who, and she's a girl and she wears her hijab, she's probably going to get pulled aside at airport security. Let's be realistic here. So by saying that you're colorblind, you're ignoring the fact that she is going to consistently get pulled aside for quote unquote random checks. Like, you're erasing that by saying that you're colorblind. So maybe you just fucking don't.
Or even just people of color to people of color. Recognize that, yes, we're struggling. But I will never fully understand the fear of being deported or of not being able to live where I've lived my whole, like a long time of my life, being ripped away from me. I will never understand that. And all I can do is whatever I can do, which is just be an ally and just be there and supportive. But I will never claim that I will understand that or that my oppression is equal to you. Like, it's not that kind of thing. So,
yeah. And there are a lot of situations, and this is kind of, I'm already starting to answer the question of what's the hardest part to get real with. I think sometimes it can be really difficult to understand that there are moments when like a white person's voice can contribute to the story and can contribute to the situation and like make it stronger. And there are times when it can really fucking hinder it. So there are certain times when we as white people just need to sit the fuck down and clap as the Black people do their thing or people of color do their thing, because there are certain situations, lots of situations where our voice, no matter how badly we want to help, does not help. So sometimes you just got to sit the fuck down, shut the fuck up, and just be supportive.
Yeah. Please and thank you. Yeah. Hardest part for me to get real with was probably saying all this stuff.
Yeah.
Let's see how many friends I have left. Well, I mean, honestly, would it suck if I lost some people? Sure, but maybe they weren't super close friends then in the beginning. So
yeah, if this episode scares people off, I probably wanted you gone anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. This is the world we live in. And like, it's funny, like when you're younger and they always say things about like, oh, voting's so important. You're just like, whatever. But now it's more than ever. Voting is so important and the decisions you make affect so much. So, you know, yikes, you have to be honest. You have to speak up. You have to say things. You have to speak your mind and you have to actually follow through with that when it comes to voting and things like that. So, because that's how people's lives are in danger now. Not now. Always have been, but definitely now more than ever. I had one more point I did want to make, but then I forgot. I think it was mostly the fact of kind of going off yours of it's okay to not understand. Yeah. Like, don't feel like you have to try to make up some story like, okay, what is the worst thing that's happened to me in my life? Okay, insert that now.
Yeah.
And like maybe then they'll think that I'm like showing solidarity. So solidarity does not have to mean that you are giving stories to and hopefully that helps. No, it could just be sitting there and listening.
Yeah.
And like just comforting and actually appreciating. I don't know. But yeah. And also don't stop. If you are listening, don't stop at this. Like, please go research, go talk to somebody. Not me. And just learn more about it and learn if you want to, whatever. Some might just be pissed, but yeah, continue to educate yourself on it.
Yeah.
Cause this is the world we live in. Easiest part to get real with. Also talking about this stuff, it's how I feel about things. Slightly nervous about the... Well, that's going back to what makes me... Whatever. Yeah, that's it for me.
I think for me, the easiest part of this specific conversation in this specific atmosphere is that it's always easy to... Well, okay, no, not easy is the wrong word. I never feel uncomfortable talking about race around Tavinia. Because it's, I don't know, it's just what we've always been pretty open with each other about how we feel about it. And she's willing to put me in my place if I say something fucked up. And so I just appreciate that I know that I always have like an open forum to talk about it. But at the same time, I'm also not trying to just use you as like a, you know, like I do my own research on shit too. I'm not just trying to use Tavinia as a resource.
I'm sorry. It just came back to me.
Your head. Oh, okay.
My thought. No!
Is it gone again?
I should have fucking wrote it down.
Oh, so quickly.
It was something about based off what you were saying.
Open dialogue.
Open dialogue. Not afraid.
You put
to
me
talk.
In my place if I say racist.
Just
shit.
Also. Don't force people of color to have conversations about race at all times. Like, that drives me fucking insane. I remember, I'm not going to say which one of Maggie's friends came to visit us in Ireland, and it was like the only thing they wanted to talk about with me was racial issues. And like, God, it's so fucked up, right? And I'm like, can we talk about Taylor Swift for a while? Like, I want to talk about something else. Like, that's not the only thing I want to talk about. Like, yes, we're saying to be open to conversations and stuff like that, but you don't gotta fucking start it, and maybe don't make it the first thing out the gate. It's a lot. And like, it took us a long time to even get around to talking about this on our fucking podcast, and we talk about it all the time with ourselves. So leave us alone sometimes, you know?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. yeah. So what? We have one left. What's the last question? How has it changed you?
Oh. I feel like it's about to change a lot of my friendship statuses.
I don't think it will. I don't know. I mean, like I said, well, it's not my perspective, I guess, but if I personally lose friends over this episode, bye. Like...
Yeah, or maybe it'll just open up to, hopefully, just opens up to more eventful conversations. And I mean, like I said, it'll, if they go, okay. But.
Okay.
No, it's just years of friendship that could be gone. You know?
Yeah, that's true.
Which sucks. But that's never fun to lose because making new friends as an adult is very fucking hard.
Yeah.
And for people who've been there for, with you through a lot of things, but this is the one thing that's like the... And I don't think anything else I said except for maybe the stuff about the cops is what would end some of my friendship.
Okay. I was going to... That's what I was like...
Yeah.
Thinking, well, it's not like they...
No, the stuff about
don't know you're black.
Yeah, no. I'm surprised. Oh, God, black and has an opinion on race? Oh, no.
Too far.
Where's her hair? That's always my go-to. People just freak out. Oh, God, where's her hair? Yeah, no. That's... So changed me. Pending. TBD.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like the specific conversation... Because this format... Like, you and I have had extremely similar conversations as to what we just had just on our own, like talking on the phone about current events or whatever. So these are always like enlightening conversations to have, but I mean, you didn't say anything that you and I haven't talked about before. And I don't think I said anything that you and I haven't talked about before.
Yeah. That's just usually you and I.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I think the only difference is that we're actually just saying it out loud for other people to hear.
Which, that's best, because that's how change can happen. Sometimes you can change a person's opinion on things by them hearing other people talk about it, but at the same time, that's how also things can...
Yeah, I like the fact that I don't feel like this was a totally earth-shattering conversation for me, because we talk about it enough that it's normalized, and I feel like that's how it should be. So there's that.
Okay.
What brought you joy this week?
What day is it? Saturday? Yeah. Oh my God. I keep thinking it's Friday for some reason. I mean, I guess I could say being here brought joy. I'm in Colorado. We said we're together, but I don't think we said what state.
Oh, yeah.
I'm visiting in Colorado. Me.
Yeah. That was mine, too. Because this was like a... When was the last time we were recorded, though? It's been a while. What did I do last weekend? Oh, I do have one. We went to Missouri for my mom's birthday, for my mom's 60th birthday. So I got to be with my whole family, and it was so cute. Mm-hmm. Cute.
Yes, actually, now go back. I went to Kansas last weekend and got to see a lot of people. And my little bubs, oh God, Taylor's son. I don't know if she wants me to say his name. He was like sick, pretty sick the whole weekend, which I would never wish on him ever because it was so sad. But it made him super cuddly. And he would just, oh God, fall asleep while I was holding him. And it was so cute. He's 1 year old. But then his little feet, oh God, he was so warm. It was just like a heartbreaking but cute moment. So I think he hates me most of the time. So that was really exciting. Even though he was like fever ridden. Like, who are you? Like,
he's like, I don't even care.
You're darker, mommy.
Yeah. Oh, I got to, my brother and sister-in-law were like out playing mini golf or something, and so my niece was napping and it was time to wake her up, and so I had every intention of just pushing the door open so that like the light would go in and then like she would hear us like out in the me and my parents like out in the living room moving around, she would like wake up on her own. Well, I pushed the door open and it was like was so loud, and so it woke her up and I was like, oh God, I'm sorry. So she sat up and was like rubbing her eyes and like looked so confused and like squinting up at me, and I was like, oh, I'm sorry, monkey. And so I like picked her up and she just like burrowed into my neck and was like, oh God, she hasn't done that in forever. It was so cute.
Ugh, kids,
the snuggles. And my song, I've been sort of into I've been listening to the acoustic hits playlist on Spotify a lot. So from that one, which one is my favorite? I've really been liking Glory by Dermot Kennedy this week. And I've also been super, super into Billie Eilish's album. And I think one of my favorite songs off that is My Strange Addiction. God, also, so I just kind of like recently got into Billie Eilish and was listening to her album and stuff. And I remembered that she's coming to Red Rocks this summer. And I was like, that'd be really cool to go to. So I looked up tickets, $225. No, your girl's not going to Billie Eilish because, holy shit, I could buy a plane ticket for that.
Sorry, Billie. All right.
Oh, I thought you were looking up stuff to like say something else. Okay, cool. Well, I guess that's it then. And, don't be a racist asshole.
Love Jesus you guys. Was brown.
Okay, bye. Bye.